Okay, welcome to another lesson from Biblical Truth. Like for you to take your Bible. We're going to go to the book of Luke. We're going to pick it up in Luke 16, verse 19. I'll just play this while you turn to Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Okay, so you've got your place there, well, I'm going to put this into context, and I want to give you a lesson dealing about the rich man. In context, Jesus Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, and I'll pick this up in verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. He said unto them, "Yeah, they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached." So remember that verse there, we'll come back to that. "And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." And this is dealing as under the law. Now, Jesus speaks here, and I want you to make note as we read the passage concerning the rich man. When your King James Bible uses the word "certain," it's not a parable, it's a real person. So here the Lord says, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him that sent Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that ye may that he may testify unto them, that they also come into place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now I pray that, Lord, you'd help us as we look at the rich man, and I pray now, Lord, that I can unpack this. And I just want to unpack this passage for you as we look at the story of the rich man. And the rich man here was rich, and then you have the scale of the beggar. One is the child of God, one isn't, which we'll cover. And yet the world does tend to look at us through the eyes of the horizontal world rather than the vertical world, and people will judge people on either their success or their failure. In this case, you have the two extremes of a rich man and a beggar. If you've ever been to a place like India, You can literally cross a railroad track from a place where the beggars and then to the rich. So we have an illustration. It's not so much as an illustration, but the fact of the matter is that one is rich, one is poor, and he is the rich man. And as you look at the story here, the rich man, he fared sumptuously every day. It wasn't though that he could say that God blessed him, God had mercy on him, the fact that he had a good life. Yet here's Lazarus, and the ironic thing is that Lazarus is the child of God, which we'll come to, yet he is poor. So the Lord never ever judges us or looks through the eyes of what we have, but rather the Lord God will always look at man or look at us personally as our relationship is related to him. So this is important when you see this. Now, in the story here, there's two desires. The beggar, Lazarus, he desired the crumbs from the rich man's table. And I want you to understand that the rich man could have fed Lazarus. And then there is Lazarus also here where the rich man has a desire, and the rich man's desire now is, as we find it in verse 24, where he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue." Just as the crumbs from the table, there's a little bit of water on Lazarus' finger to cool this man's tongue, "for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so they that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." In other words, even if Lazarus wanted to help you, he can't. It's not possible now that he can cross the bridge here, that the gap that is between Lazarus' bosom and hell. So in effect of the matter is that the rich man had opportunity and could have helped Lazarus, but Lazarus does not have that opportunity to help him. And it's important when you look at the two desires, and also you have the scale between the rich and the poor, and one's a beggar. So God doesn't look us through the, he does not look at success. Often we think failure is something that is, we tend to look at failure as in the wrong light, rather than looking at success is not what we have in this life, but success is our relationship to our God and our Savior. And it came to pass that the beggar died in verse 22 and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So God does not live, and I want you to understand this from the Bible, understand that God does not live on a vertical plane, but on the horizontal plane. And it's clearly here seen that the story here as the Lord is speaking to the Jews is that you have two Jews. Obviously, it would be more than likely the rich man was a Jew, also is Lazarus. And the difference between the two is seen in understanding when it comes to Abraham, because we have been doing a study on the covenants, and the Abrahamic covenant is the covenant that God made Abraham dealing with his seed. And if you remember what the Bible said, that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, you would pick that up in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 to 6, where he says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven." That's God telling Abraham to look towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And obviously it's impossible. "And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he," that's Abraham, "believed in the Lord and encountered it to him for righteousness." Understand that when it's that Abraham received imputed righteousness, it was imputed unto him. And obviously the point is that many of us, we are lost person, or many of us rely on our own self-righteousness, and somehow We believe that that can somehow fill the gap. We're good enough. We believe that we can get to heaven on our works. And yet we don't believe the biblical account where God says, no, there's a gap, there's a shortfall between you and me. And the only one who can fill that shortfall is God's righteousness. And of course, this is the whole thing about the Bible and man. And when you and I trusted Jesus Christ, God imputed righteousness unto us. You should study Romans chapter 4 and understand that Abraham is the father of us all, and understand that Abraham believed God. Obviously here then in the story that Lazarus believed God and he has imputed righteousness. What makes a person a child of God is when God imputes his righteousness to us and he makes us right in his eyes, and here this is through faith. So keep that thought in mind. Furthermore, that you understand that the rich man probably was a Jew and he would have been circumcised, but the rich man did not receive the witness and testimony of Lazarus, but obviously he must have heard Lazarus who laid at his gate, because the rich man is the one who says to Abraham, send him and to testify to my brethren, and he didn't receive the testimony. And understand that when you realize that he would have been circumcised in the flesh as a Jew, but as many, they trusted in their own righteousness and forgot what the reason of the circumcision that was given to Abraham in the first place. And to understand that it's in Genesis chapter 17, verse 11, that where Abraham had all his household circumcised in the flesh, that was his family, the servants, and even strangers, if you read Genesis chapter 17, verse 11. And the reason was that he says, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. That's in Genesis 17, verse 11. It's a token of their faith. Now, in the Bible, it's important for you as a believer to remember Romans chapter 2, verse 29. It makes it clear that where he says that, but he is a Jew, that's Romans 2, verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the rich man did not receive the testimony of Lazarus, nor he had a desire to hear the law and the prophets. Now in context, Jesus is speaking, and he said to the Pharisees that all the law and the prophets were until John. If you understand, John the Baptist was prophesied in Isaiah chapter, I think it's 66, or could be 60, where he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. So right here we have Jesus speaking now on earth. John has introduced him to Israel as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, their Messiah. And Jesus is speaking of a certain rich man and Lazarus, which obviously would be very clearly that this event is happening now. Understand, only God can see beyond the grave. It's only God who can see where the rich man went and where Lazarus went. Often we wonder who is saved, and sometimes that story will never really be fully understood till afterwards, and it depends on an individual receiving the witness of God. Now, without getting too distracted here, and where he said unto them, where Jesus was saying unto them, ye are they that justify yourselves before men. What do you mean? The Pharisees were self-righteous. Even though they were under the law, they had forgotten the faith of Abraham, and that righteousness is imputed to us when we believe God. Right at the moment, in the dispensation that we live in, which is the church age, we are now to call upon the Lord and believe that he died for our sins, which he did. He was buried and rose again, where God had commended his love towards us, and yet while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we receive Jesus Christ and we thank him that he died for our sins, then God imputes his righteousness to us, and then we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, where the Bible had said that all men have fallen short of the glory of God. The one thing that we fall short of is our righteousness, and the only one who could have filled that gap and who can touch the hereditary nature of sin is God. And so therefore righteousness is imputed to us. And as a believer, I pray that you realize that it's not your good works that get you to heaven, but by grace he saved you. And then when you believed and trusted Christ, he imputed his righteousness unto you. And that's Romans chapter 4 and also Romans chapter 3. It would be prudent for you to study the word of God. Now, here we have now the fact that that we realize that God is not the God of the dead. Obviously, Abraham is alive, which we know. Also, Lazarus is alive. And we come back to the rich man. Now, the rich man, he fared sumptuously. He had a good life. Yet, truthfully speaking, the rich man was lost. And when he died, he was buried. And yet, when Lazarus died, he was carried away into Abraham's bosom. Often we forget that we look at life through our eyes, and we look at our success, we look at our failures, and we often don't realize that God does not look at us through our failures or our success. If you want a good example of that, was Joseph in the Old Testament. God was constant in Joseph's life, but if you look at the ups and downs in his life, where his brethren betrayed him, where he was thrown in a pit, where he was falsely accused, where he was left to rot in jail and forgotten and then remembered, and eventually, if you know the story, is that then God raised him up and he became second in Pharaoh's house for the very reason to save the children of Israel from the famine that was in the land of Canaan. And if you remember the story that God used Joseph, and Joseph had to tell his brethren that, where he says that all things work, all things are good according to the will of God. And sometimes we forget it's the will of God in our lives. Here Lazarus was a rich man, and yet the will of God for God's child Lazarus was to lay at the rich man's gate, and he was a witness and a testimony and a light. And unfortunately, the rich man did fare sumptuously, and the rich man died, but Lazarus was carried away into his bosom. I pray you can take some of these thoughts, take the Bible, and take that time in his word, and I pray you remember the story of the rich man.